We are in the middle of a series. Do you all remember last week what our two words were? I am. Wow. And guess what today is? You're close. It's I believe. I set you up for that. So it's I am. You want to say it with me? But maybe, Caleb, can you try and tie them together? I am. Say it with me. I am. I believe. I follow. And I serve. Okay, so today, I believe, let's open in prayer. God, as we open your word, may your presence be felt here. May you block out all distractions, even from our own heart, our own wandering heart, that we may focus on you and gain a heart of wisdom, that we may discern your will, not only for this church as a body, but our individual lives. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever underestimated something small? Something small. I know that older folks, I'm falling in that category. Just Zach made fun of me the other day. Zach made fun of my gray beard. Can you believe that? Zach. But I guess I'm starting to fall in that category, but I've not crossed over that threshold where you look at the fall and go, oh no. I still get excited when you have the warm days and the cool nights. Am I alone? Is there anybody else that enjoys the fall? Okay, all right, there's a few of you. I love that. One of the big ones is I get to sit out back with Melanie because it's cool outside. And when it's cool, those little black itty-bitty annoying things we call mosquitoes go away, right? And it's crazy because it can take the most wonderful moment that we're enjoying, and for some reason they bite me over her, because she's a lot sweeter than me, I think. But they bite me, and they will make this 230-pound guy run. Right? I'm inside, and I leave her outside and lock her. Oh, I don't do that. But little things make incredible impact, and sometimes we kind of overlook this notion. Little things. Cooking. Anyone here like to cook besides Dave, who won the chili cook-off last year? I'm sorry, is it last year or the year before last? I keep rubbing that in, Sue. I know. But anyone love cooking? How about this one? Who loves eating? Okay, you're with me on this. But isn't it amazing how different people can make the same dish, same ingredients, and one is amazing. It's the best chili you ever had. And then Sue makes hers, and you're like, I'm kidding. It was good too. It was better than mine. It was. I'm kidding. I'm gonna die of starvation now. But little things make a huge, huge difference. You with me on this? Anyone live on their feet when they work? I thought of you, Michael. You live on your feet, don't you? You're always moving. Little things make a big impact. You can't see this, but it's a little pebble. I'm going to ask Michael if he will put this in his shoe all week and walk around and tell us next week the difference it makes in his day. Little things, huge impact, and you don't even have to be able to see them. How about this one? Splitting an atom. Splitting an atom can make such a huge difference. How about for this goldfish, right? Little things. Big, huge difference. How about this one? When we're kind of living through right now, it's invisible, but it's impacted and affected every single one of our lives. Crazy to think that a silly little virus, something you can't even show me, has turned our world upside down. But there's something else on even a greater scale than any of those. Even if you were to combine them, this one thing, it's invisible, but it makes a greater impact than all of them together. It's something you can't smell, taste, touch, experience, but it's real. Do you know what it is? Any hunch? Beliefs. Beliefs. Say this with me. I believe. What do you believe? I know you do believe, but the question we're going to try and drill down to today is what do you believe? We all believe something. And more importantly, where do those beliefs get sourced? So I'm going to assume that, again, we go to the scripture. If you want these, I'm going to go real fast, okay? Matthew 14:31. Beliefs were the difference between the apostle Peter, then disciple, the difference in Peter walking on water or sinking. Matthew 9:29, the difference between being blind and seeing. Beliefs, Matthew 8:13, between being sick and being healed. And then Matthew 17:20, you already know this, when you don't even look this one up. How much faith, how much belief does it require to move an entire mountain? The faith of a mustard seed. And that's pretty small. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, that much faith can move an entire mountain. Beliefs matter. Hebrews 11:16, we learned that it's actually impossible for us to please God if we don't first believe he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. Beliefs are these little things that we don't think much about. We rarely acknowledge, but do we realize the powerful influence they have on us all? And the other part of this too is that beliefs don't actually have to be true to have an impact. I can't remember where I first heard about this, but I think I was in college. But overseas, where they use elephants for work, they actually convince elephants when they're young and little, and you probably can't see it, but there's this little bitty chain. Sometimes they just use rope. But this chain or the rope is just enough to hold a baby elephant. But when this elephant grows, it remembers, I can't break that chain. I can't break that rope. I can't pull up that tree. And so just that being on its neck and feeling that little bit of a pull, it stops. And one day this person was walking by asking, I can't believe that little bitty rope, which would have been equivalent to you tying dental floss to my ankle and making me stop pacing on the stage, right? It wouldn't work. If that elephant wanted to pull away, it would snap the chain. It would uproot the tree. But the elephant doesn't know it. How many of us are just like that? Our beliefs, whether they're true or false, have immense control on not just how we think, but on what we do and on what we become. Look over history. I'm not a huge history buff, but Eric could help us on this. Think of all the things that man has done that was beautiful, that was wonderful, all because of what he believed. Or on the other side, the ugliest things that man has ever done, he did all of them because of a belief ideology. Beliefs move us, they shape us, make us, break us. Beliefs unite us, they divide us, they free us and enslave us. Beliefs arguably are the largest influential factor, one of the largest in our entire life. And if that's so, the question is, do you think beliefs are important? What do you say, church? Are beliefs important? What you believe important? It is. Say it with me again. I believe. And you do believe, but what do you believe? And maybe even more important than what do you believe is this one. And write this one down. Who do you believe? Who is the one who is sourcing these things that you hold to? And it might not be as easy to define as you think, and we have a whole lot of options, but try and explore this with me. We're going to try and unpack this. Who do you believe? What are the sources? Realize this. Whoever's informing those beliefs has incredible control over your entire life. It's the who, not just the what. Who is influencing you? Who's the one you trust above all others? Who decides for you what is true, what is not? Is it you? First option. Are you the arbiter of truth and what is trustworthy? Are you the one that you just draw upon your own experience, your own senses, your own intellect, and you are the one that decides it all? I guess to some degree that we all kind of fall in that camp. But do you just trust your own opinion? We've all got one. I love in the Hamlet story, there's Polonius, he said, to thine own self be true. Are you that person that is the arbiter, again, of all truth and what you believe? We all have this opinion. I just said it a second ago. We all have an opinion, and I don't know where the line kind of got blurred, got fuzzy. But it went from, I have my opinion, and you have yours. Now it's, I have my truth, and you have your truth. And everywhere, truth, truth, right? I mean, it doesn't matter, no matter what you believe and what you think today, many believe that even though they can be in complete contrast, contradictory, both are equally true. We believe some of this today. Even in here, we have some pretty crazy beliefs. I know I've heard something of this referenced in the larger church, maybe not in this particular local body, but we have this notion that if it makes me feel good, it must be good. It must be of God. And anything that makes me feel bad must be evil. It must be of the devil. And maybe you'd say, I don't know that I believe that, but think about, do you live into that principle? Because it's certainly one that our world lives by. If it feels good, it must be good. And if it feels bad, then it must be bad. But there's plenty of things I can think of that don't feel good, but are good. And there are plenty of things that feel bad that aren't good. Anyway, so where are we at on this? Irreconcilable, to your thine own self be true. Proverbs 16:25, taking notes. We've used this one before, but I love this passage because as we lean into feelings as opposed to facts, again, our society struggles with this, but I feel. I know this is true, but I feel. And so we do what we feel. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Your feelings will betray you. And I want to prove this. How many of you in here have ever let your feelings guide you? Raise your hand. You got to participate. You let your feelings guide you, and they betrayed you. Raise your hand. I have. I thought it was a good idea, and it was a horrible idea, right? So how about this? How many of you have ever made a mistake before? Honesty check here. Ever made a mistake in your entire life? Oh, more hands are going up now. Oh, how about this? Try this one. How many of you have ever told a lie to yourself? I mean, okay, so if you are the person that you lean on to define what is true, let me ask you this, and we'll ask it again. Do you think it's a good idea to lean on you if by your own admission you've made mistakes? By your own admission, you're a liar? Are you the good arbiter of truth that you think you are? Maybe not. So what are your other options? Well, before we jump into that one, I love this video. I want to show a clip. This guy, you know, sometimes in front of the camera, things get a little fuzzy, get a little nervous. And math is one of those things that if you don't use it a lot, you kind of lose it a lot, right? So watch this clip of this guy who kind of had some struggle with math as he leaned on his own intellect and opinion. Ever thought something was true? I love that video. Ever thought something was true only to find out later you were wrong? It was false. This guy cracks me up. I did my own thing last week, and maybe you caught on to it, and I'm going to have to read it so I say it correctly because I'm afraid I'll invert it again. Last week, I kept saying theft identity. Did anyone notice this? Theft identity? Zach, of course you did. Of course you did. But I should have said identity theft. So Melanie goes, did you do that on purpose? And I went, do what? And she's like, you inverted the words. I'm like, what words? And she's like, identity theft? And I went, yeah. She goes, you said theft identity every single time. I was like, I did? She goes, it had to be on purpose. She thought I was kidding. I was like, no, I just kind of whoop, woohoo, and flipped them around. And as I age, that happens a lot more, Zach. It'll happen to you, right? But we've all had those moments, right, where we kind of mess things up. And you trust you? I mean, how many times? I couldn't even tell you. You know, when my keys are in my office, my first car didn't have the push button stuff, right? I had the manual windows, you know what I'm saying? You rolled it up and you unlocked it with your finger. That's what I had. And so I did a system check every time I got out of my car. I'd walk around and check every door handle, and then I'd go into the mall or whatever I was going to do. I still struggle, I guess old habits die hard, but I still struggle with that. It annoys Melanie because we'll go to the shopping center or whatever, and it's not enough for me to just to press the lock button and see the flash. I want to hear it go beep. I want to hear the horn. It scares everybody half to death. You know, in the park. That's kind of fun too, though, honestly. But it, that whole thing, I don't even trust myself. I don't even trust myself. Does anyone ever do this too? Like you go back and you hit the lock button and still check the handle? Am I the only one? You're laughing. Maybe you do that. Okay, so I don't trust myself. Do you trust you? Do you trust you? I don't trust you. If I don't trust you because I don't trust myself. So, I mean, anyway, moving on. Second thing, other people. Are other people a good source for you to know what is true, what you can rest all of your beliefs in? Today we live in a time where we got people online to kind of help us figure out what's right and wrong. Snopes, you know, now Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other social medias have gotten in on it. The news has gotten in on it. The fact checkers, right? But who's checking the fact checkers? Again, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been lied to by a person? Raise your hand. Ever been lied to by a person? We're going to pick this one up. Wow, more and more hands are going up here. You've been lied to. Was that fun? Did you like that? Now, I don't like being lied to. I don't like being lied to. How many of you believe all people lie? Raise your hand. Real high, right? Zach, your hand didn't go as high that time. All people lie. When it was about me picking on me, you raised your hand. Do you think it's a good idea to trust known liars? No. But we do. Again, I know you believe, but who is in charge of the beliefs you have and hold that are so near and dear to your heart? You know, there's a quote by George Washington. It says this. You got it there, Caleb? Don't believe everything you read on the internet just because there's a picture with a quote next to it. I'll give you a second. If you're online, you're going to miss this one. Okay, so listen, this is why we're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, which we are spirit, by the way, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So quick review. Beliefs matter. They influence our lives in major, major ways, unseen ways, and also felt ways. And if this is 100% true, all men are liars, including ourselves. I lie, you lie, we lie. People are therefore not a good source. Wouldn't you agree? People are not a good source to inform our beliefs. Would you agree with that? People aren't a good choice. So what do we have left? What options do we have left? If you can't trust yourself and you can't trust people, what do we have left? And if you're a Christian, you already know the answer to this. But I remember having that same struggle as an atheist because I didn't trust people, not their sense of right and wrong, not their sense of what is true and what is not. I recognized even then as a young teenager the fault that I had within myself and in others. And I wanted so badly to believe in God. I think I wanted to be God because I wanted to be in charge. But I understood that I couldn't be God because I'm riddled with holes and faults and mistakes, just like you. And as I wrestle with all these things, we already know, I finally came to it. It took me 2 years in that process, 8 years ago, where I started with this struggle and God began to work in my heart. And maybe some of you were in that place, but 2 years for me to go from an atheist to going into the ministry to be a pastor. Once you finally arrive at this place, it makes things so much simpler when you understand that there's this person who's not just trustworthy, who's not just authoritative, who never lies, who's always right, but who loves us, who cares for us, who wants the best for us. And who am I talking about, church? It's Jesus. It took me a long time to get there. And I love this, and the Apostle Paul said in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. God is true. And we find elsewhere in Scripture that God cannot lie. Do you believe that? Do you believe others? Do you believe yourself over God? Who is shaping what you and I believe? because somebody is. And for most things where we agree, like Pepsi or Coke, we all know it's Pepsi. Maybe not. Okay, so, but we all know there's some things we agree on, and there's some things that we don't. When we don't agree, who's the final say? Who has the final authority for you to submit and say, you know what, I thought it was this, but I must be wrong? Who is that? Is it your mama? Is it your daddy? Is it God? You know, I served under a pastor who played these games that I see lots of people in the church play. He was quite liberal, and his name is Kevin. Hopefully he's not listening, but his name was Kevin. I won't say his last name. But Kevin wanted to believe what Kevin wanted to believe. Know any people like that? Aren't we all like that to some degree? And so as he read the scriptures, he'd be like, yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe that was for that time, or you know, maybe that was played with. He thought the Bible had been played with and you couldn't trust it anymore. And so he told me, he said, I only believe the red letters. And you know, some of your Bibles don't even have red letters, but he's talking about Jesus. He only believed what Jesus had said in the Gospels. That was it. No, everybody else, it was like, maybe. To which I asked him, I said, well, you do understand, if you believe Jesus, Jesus actually bore witness of the Bible you're not acknowledging. He said, these Old Testament scriptures, not the New Testament yet, because it wasn't written yet, but all these Old Testament scriptures you're trying to get rid of and you're trying to ignore, Jesus affirmed. The one, the red letter guy, the one you claim to follow, said you're to live by these. He didn't like that. He didn't like, not that I was the authority, he didn't like that the Word of God was an authority. So here's my question as we kind of drill this down. Day to day, not just the hour we spend in here, but as you leave here, more importantly, and you make daily decisions, where does this, what place? I love this Bible. It's huge. It's heavy. Can you imagine carrying this bad boy around to work? What's up, people? What place does this take as you discern what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil? Let me be honest. Maybe you're going to say none. I'm just here. I'm just hanging out. I like the pews. They're comfortable. Probably not. Okay, but maybe you say some. This impacts some of my beliefs. Some of us might say it affects most of my beliefs. But how many of us can honestly say this impacts all? A-L-L. Whatever it says, whatever Christ has given us through his word, I apply this. This is it for me. Whatever this says, God, through Christ, is the somebody who has the final say. We all believe. We all believe something. But who is determining, who is defining those beliefs for us? Do you trust yourself, a liar? Do you trust others, a liar? Or do you trust the one who always tells you the truth, even when it's uncomfortable? The one who wants the best for you, even when you wouldn't have made that decision. I don't know how you can talk about beliefs. I got two stories and we'll wrap up on these. I don't know how you can talk about beliefs and not talk about Blondin. And I know I've told this story before, but maybe you have bad memories like me, so you don't remember. But Blondin, this guy back in the 1800s, a daredevil, stretched a tight wire across from the U.S. to the Canadian side, Niagara Falls. And they said that he would hop inside like a sack and hop across this wire. I can't imagine. He would get on stilts and walk across this thing. And they said one time he actually walked across the tight wire blindfolded backwards. Right? In the 1800s, I just can't imagine. Can't imagine. But when he came back to the U.S. side, he had a wheelbarrow. And people were like, yeah, and they're cheering. I mean, even above the roar of the water, you could hear the claps and the cheers. And so he calms the crowd and he says, who believes that I can walk across this wire with somebody in the wheelbarrow? And they're all like, we believe, we believe. He calms the quiet, quiets everyone down. He says, "Who will get in the wheelbarrow?" Right? I guess it was a long, long pause. I don't know if it happened that time or a time after, but his manager, Harry, got in the wheelbarrow. You know, I love that story because I think it so perfectly illustrates where you and I live. It's really easy when it's of no consequence for us to sit back in our comfortable, cozy lives and yell back to God, "We believe! We believe!" when it costs us nothing. But when he asks us to get into his wheelbarrow, to trust him, do we? Always? Every single time? There's a story in Gospel Mark, if you want to take notes and write it down. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's chapter 9, starts in verse 14. There's this argument about this guy, and people were trying to heal him, and it wasn't working, the disciples. And Christ walked up and says, what are you all fighting about? What's the problem here? And this father speaks up and says, "You know, my son, it's all about my son. They tried to heal him. It didn't work." And Christ asks, "How long has he been like this?" And the father says, "Well, from childhood. There's a demon in him, and it often throws him into fire or water trying to kill him." But he says to Jesus, "But if you can do anything," isn't that our problem? Our buts. "I believe, but if you can do anything, will you take pity on us and help us?" And Jesus replies, "If you can, like, you don't know who I am. Everything is possible for him who believes." And I love the Father's response because I can identify with it. I don't think that you ever graduate to a place where you never have to lean on faith. I know the 3 years I've been here, I mean, I've never been a senior pastor before. Did you know that? I've never done that. I've been a youth minister for 20 plus years, but I've never been in this seat every week, get up and share a message, hoping that my 26 years will pour life into your faith. Some of you have been a Christian longer than I've been alive, let alone a Christian. I hope I do. I hope I give you something. But I ask God often, why me? Why me? But my why never gets in the way of the do. Right? I don't put my butt in there and say, "I believe you, Lord, but how about you? What is he leading you to do?" Listen to this father. Listen to his response. The father exclaimed, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me get to that place where I believe you in such a way that all things are possible." Think about this. Is there anything God is asking you to do that you can't do? The answer is no. You can do anything that God is asking you to do. Why? Maybe you can't do it by yourself, but if you'll surrender to him, he will absolutely. He's promised to not just give us vision, but provision for the journey he sets us on. Is that us today? Church, I'm asking you, do you believe him? Or are we like that crowd just yelling in the background, "It feels good. We believe," but doing nothing about it. Let's pray. God, as we again examine your word and it echoes in our hearts and we review things that we've heard, things that we know, but have yet to live and lean on. God, speak to us. May we not leave here frustrated but encouraged. People who desire to live in a way that honors you, that glorifies you, and ultimately points people to you, that they may know us, that they may know the faith that we have, that we are the church, that we are your children, that we are yours, we are your people, set apart, holy, waiting for your return. That they also may be a part of that family. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know him? Will you all please stand as we prepare to sing our invitation song? If you have yet to get in Christ's wheelbarrow, to put your faith, hope, and trust in him, to actually proclaim, I believe, and live that out. That's what this time is for. I'll be down here, and if you want to join me as we sing our invitation song and accept Christ and trust him for life, for salvation, for your eternity, would you please come as we sing? I am, we are, who he says we are, and we believe we can do everything he has given us to do if we'll just trust him. I love you, church. We'll see you next week.